أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Quran City, and we're focusing on Qasam place.
Today we will look at Surah number 92, which is Surah Al-Layl, the night. This is a very early Meccan surah, possibly one of the first 10 surahs to be revealed in Mecca. And again, the focus here is that the human being is endowed with free will and knowledge to choose one of two paths, one that leads to ease or success and the other that leads to hardship or wretchedness. The surah also identifies the root cause of the perception of independence from divinity as wealth. Now, the first section looks at three oaths and then concludes as a jawab al-qasam, or the answer, the conclusion to the oaths, is the diversity of striving, which is the key ayat here, which is ayah 4. Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Indeed, your striving is dispersed. It's towards diverse ends.
Well, let's begin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-layli idha yaghsha. I swear by the night as it enshrouds. The assertion is to a period of night during which abject darkness veils everything. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. And the day when it reveals itself. These two oaths are taken on phenomena located at the extreme or polar ends, namely brilliant sunlight and abject darkness. Not at dawn or at twilight, when some of the darkness or light respectively still lingers.
And then he says, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. By him who created the male and the female.
The opposites, male and female, night and day, life and death, have only been created in this balanced form so that we may strive to discover that the root of one lies in its opposite and that one cannot exist without the other. And it is the combination of these two which bring life into being. Our deeds also, just like the contrasting day and night, or the male and the female, are diverse and as a result yield different outcomes. Let's look at the next ayah, which clarifies this. He says, Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Indeed, your striving is directed to various ends. Sa'i means to strive, to seek, to make a greater effort. We're all striving, everyone according to his intention and orientation. Some people's deeds are luminous like daytime, while others are dark, similar to nighttime. However, as our deeds are the sum total of our endeavours, there is inevitably an admixture of both good and evil. Now we look at the next section, where there's a contrast of two diverse endeavours with Allah's verdict of each one. So he starts off by saying, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْتَى وَاتَّقَى. As for the one who gives generously and guards against evil, in other words, he is God-conscious. So Allah here is saying that the first virtue is to be generous, to be charitable. And the second virtue is taqwa, which denotes the ability to guard and restrain oneself from committing sins, to apply those internal brakes. And then he says, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and confirms the truth in the ultimate good. Saddaqa means to trust, to believe in, and from it comes to the meaning to give in charity. It is the confirmation of our belief that Allah is the giver. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq was called as Sadiq because he was renowned for his truthfulness. To have Sidq means that a person is truthful to his creator, which is a recognition that there is only pure giving. So the verse describes those who not only confirm moral values, but also benefit others through words and actions. And now the benefit of believing the truth of these moral values and manifesting them. He says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will facilitate ease for him. In other words, he will find doing good things come naturally. Let me summarize. If a human being continually acts out the three virtues, generosity, taqwa, God-consciousness, and good deeds, they become second nature. And this is where Allah says, we will facilitate ease for him. And now the contrast. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. As for the one who is stingy
and deems himself free of need. So Allah is saying, the first group we had generosity, here we have stinginess. In the first group we had God consciousness, a constant awareness of divinity. Here there is no awareness of God or the need to develop taqwa in the mistaken belief that he is rich due to his own independent efforts or means, which makes him consider himself to be a superior being. Allah continues to describe him. He says, وَقَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And he rejects the best. That means he rejects the best values, the best deeds, and the concept of ultimate reward. So these people not only verbally reject the laws and all that is good, but also display their contempt for them through their actions. And now the consequence. Allah says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَ. We will facilitate hardship for him. Those who deny and reject will be heading towards hardship. They're preparing themselves for a difficult future. And he continues, he says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّ. His wealth will not save him when he perishes. Misers do not support any causes because they want to spend their wealth only on themselves. They're preoccupied with self-indulgence. They reject moral and divine values, care nothing about what will benefit them in the hereafter. So the question to ask is, what is the use of whatever we have accumulated of inner or outer wealth if when we return to Allah we're in turmoil? And Allah continues, Inna alayna lal-huda. Certainly it is upon us to give the guidance. Even wealth will not buy guidance. True guidance is only that which leads you to divinity. And then in ayah 13, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. We own the hereafter and the dunya. The emphasis is, it belongs to him. All the goodness, all the blessings of this life and the next. All those blessings of creation in all its forms, all of which is here now and what will come later, is encompassed, owned and controlled by Allah. Real ownership belongs only to him. And now a warning. فَأَنْذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَذَّى. So I warn you of the raging fire. لَا يَصْلَاحَ إِلَّا الْعَشْقَى. No one will enter it but the most wretched. الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. The one who rejects and turns away. Anzar means to warn others of an impending serious danger which is lurking around the corner. It is a warning that our misdeeds are solely responsible for the regretful, humiliating and disgraceful fate that will await those who don't restrain their ego. And now the contrast. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْعَتْقَى. But far away from it will be the one who safeguards himself with God consciousness. الَّذِي يُعْطِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. Who gives his wealth so that he may purify it, so that he may grow in purity, or to liberate himself from worldly attachments. Whatever wealth he has, not only in the material sense, but also in knowledge, he gives it voluntarily. Mal literally means possession, property, wealth or goods. It comes from mawalla, which means to enrich, to finance, to become wealthy. It denotes inclining towards something. And in this case, the ayah refers to someone who increases his wealth by giving it out, since if he restricts it, it will not flow. The same applies to knowledge. If we withhold it, we will not allow new knowledge to flow to us from the only reservoir of knowledge, which is Allah. And then he continues, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. And he anticipates no reward in return for the favor. In other words, a muttaqi has no ulterior motive, no expectation of receiving anything in return. Since all deeds are motivated by one's intention, what could the intention of a muttaqi be? The intention of one who is God-conscious, and Allah replies in ayah 20, he says, إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. Only seeking the face of his supreme Rabb, his most high Lord. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And surely soon he will be well pleased. Let's look at this concept of face. How does this apply to Allah, whom we cannot see and of whom we know so little? What is the intention of those who help others and expect nothing in return? We can never comprehend Allah's essence. All that we can know of Him are through His attributes. And as the Prophet said, تَخَلُّكُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, adopt in yourself the akhlaq, the attributes of Allah. And this is precisely what faith means. This is precisely what one who is God-conscious or muttaqi seeks. For example, Allah is Al-Wahhab, the most generous bestower, so they strive to be generous. He is Al-Kareem, the one who gives with honor, so they seek to practice that benevolence. He is Al-Ghani, the self-sufficient. They make every effort not to depend upon others. He is Al-Latif, the kind and gentle. So they also want to treat others with kindness and compassion. Their only intention is to manifest His attributes as much as they can without anticipating anything in return. So in conclusion, with the focus being that our striving is at diverse ends, the surah lays out two paths, the path of ease and the path of hardship. It takes the oath of night and day and male and female to let us know that combining them causes goodness to become manifest, and that to be successful, we need to be generous, God-conscious, and attest to goodness by manifesting good deeds. By contrast, failure is miserliness, perceiving independence of divinity and rejection of goodness by being selfish. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to be generous, to be God-conscious, and to attest to goodness and manifest it in our lives. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.